Ron Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The Supreme Court rules that the Biden administration's student loan forgiveness plan is unconstitutional. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The court said today in a 6-3 decision by the chief, no, this is a big program. You need specific authorization from Congress. You can't try and shoehorn it into waiver or modification in the HEROES Act.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden said the high court got it wrong.
I think the court misinterpreted the Constitution.
Mr. Biden said borrowers will get 12 months to make payments on federally insured loans before they're reported as being in default. And he said he'll use every tool at his disposal to give relief to Americans burdened by student loans.
We're not going to waste any time on this. We're getting moving on. It's going to take longer, but we're getting at it right away.
The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a Christian designer who refused to provide services for same-sex weddings. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
This one is a setback because it basically says that individuals who feel that they have a different belief can discriminate because forcing them to go a different direction would violate their First Amendment rights.
Airports have been getting slammed by air travelers just before the Independence Day holiday. KCBS's Matt Bigler in Oakland, California.
The line for security screening stretched all the way through the baggage claim here at Oakland International.
I was shocked. Like, we saw it right here, but then it just kept winding around. So it was a little bit concerning.
The Pulvers were flying to Tennessee to visit family for the 4th of July. They didn't realize they'd pick the busiest travel day of the Independence Day holiday.
It's a little stressful. At least we got here an hour early, but we're kind of like, we don't know if we'll make it.
Hundreds of flights have been delayed or canceled as airlines struggle with bad weather and ongoing staffing problems. Matt Bigler for CBS News, Oakland.
More unrest in France after a deadly police shooting of a teenager. CBS's Elaine Cobb in Paris.
A third of the 900 people arrested last night were under 18, some as young as 12. It's the responsibility of the parents to keep their children at home, said President Emmanuel Macron. Nael's mother, who led a march in his memory Thursday, will bury her son tomorrow, amid fears of renewed violence then and through the weekend.
An air quality update from Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
From the Canadian wildfires, it looks like the smoke will peak in the Northeast tomorrow. So places like D.C., Philadelphia, New York, and Boston, Saturday is the day where we'll be under air quality alerts. Gradual improvements, though, as we go through Sunday. Much better for Monday, as well as the holiday on Tuesday itself.
This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. We're all taking a smoke break. The air quality advisory has expired with levels not yet back to normal, but better in the Waukesha, Racine, and general area. Now, drought conditions have some looking for rain over the holiday weekend.
Kind of a situation where, you know, kind of keep an eye to the sky for some of these pop-ups that could occur.
Meteorologist Paul Collar with the National Weather Service says there are chances of rain through Independence Day. All experienced fitness clubs in Wisconsin abruptly closed yesterday. The exact reason for the closure remains unknown, but a Facebook post from the company expressed the difficulty of the decision and issued an apology. A notice posted on the door of the Greenfield Club mentioned that memberships have been transferred to the nearby Planet Fitness location. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTW Law.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Ad Council.
And get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. A little something happened today. A little news coming out of the Supreme Court. A lot of buzz. Right wing folks kind of happy, and you know, for me, it was the morning where I woke up and I'm going, is today going to be the day where the Supreme Court remains somewhat consistent, or is this going to be another slapdash kind of day, ideology trumping everything else? Turns out, yesterday they were all in favor of, we got to end discrimination. Today, discrimination. Very, very interesting, weird kind of juxtaposition. No, we can't have affirmative action, but no cake or websites for gay people. Yeah, and my mind went to this place of, you know, 2016. Thanks, Jim Comey. Thanks, Bernie Bros. Thanks for all those people who told me, I can't vote for Hillary because, I don't know why, but I can't. I can't vote for Hillary because she's bad. And what we got 4 years of, well, what we got. So, hey, you know, long-term impact for your short-term thinking. Thanks for that. And look, as I've been saying, we're repealing the 20th century. Nothing shocking, nothing surprising. No one should be upset. No one should be angry. None of this. Because I could have told you all of this was going to happen on, in fact, I did tell you all of this that was going to happen on January 20th of 2017. The second Donald Trump was sworn in, put his hand on the Bible, and swore to destroy this country. Congratulations! Everybody who stayed home, everyone who said, no, I'm going to vote for Mickey Mouse or Jill Stein. Yeah. This is what you're getting. And we're getting what we deserve. Honestly. You know, at a certain point, you got to go, they've outworked us. They've out-organized you. They've outdone you. Today's Supreme Court decisions threw out Biden's student debt relief plan. Gone. We're going to get into some of that later. Also, this is the weird one. And this is a weird kind of thing to me. I knew this case was out there. I knew this was going to come along. I knew it was going to go the way it went. Or at least I believed it was going to. Based on other decisions by this NASCAR court. evidently, and this was the more I now read about it, because, you know, I just heard the little tidbits, you know, a gay couple wanted this woman to make a website for their wedding, and she was appalled. Oh my God, she was, oh, you know, her religious foundation was shaking and shattering, and she was distraught. She was just devastated. She didn't know what to do, so she turned to very rich people to file a lawsuit to take it to the Supreme Court. Now, what's weird is now that we're finding out about this case, evidently, the gay couple never asked for the website. In fact, you know, I was reading one article where the guy's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Now, and you go, well, how did this all come about? Well, this is outrage looking for a problem. This is what the right does masterfully. They pick very sympathetic cases, and, you know, they got to get the person next door, you know, that, you know, that person you can identify with. The narrative is more important than the case. So when they bring that narrative out, then you go, oh no, they shouldn't have to make a website. You know, if it's to their true core fundamental values, you know, they shouldn't have to. And my mind goes, okay, well, you know, I see where this takes us. Once you open this door, somebody's going to kick it open. And name the group. Name the segment of the population who will then be turned away and discriminated against. And this is where we are. So I found it interesting that yesterday it was all about, we're fighting discrimination. And today, yay, discrimination for nothing. Now, what's interesting is, you know, the lawyer folks, you know, the legal beagles out there are saying, I don't understand how the Supreme Court took this case. It makes no sense of how it got here, because no one was harmed. There's no one has standing in a case that nobody did anything on. This was purely made out of whole cloth. This was dreamt up. And somehow, magically, this made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court in front of the nine folks in robes. And six of them bought it. Now, look, I get it. You know, it's all about the, you know, which the other, I don't care. But I love my Constitution friends. You know, separation of powers, Supreme Court does legislation, la, 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 la. No, this is the Supreme Court legislating. Because you can't start making laws out of thin air when there's nothing there. Their job is to apply the law. And again, nobody was harmed. And there's part of me that goes, you know, if we had a functional system, the people behind this would be exposed. We would drag them in front of committees, and we would drag, we're not going to do any of that stuff. Not going to happen. So for today, I spent a lot of time listening to right-wing bloviators. I did that. I spent a lot of time listening to talk right-wing talk radio, and the frame that they got, and I love listening to how well they spin things. The frame is the left is losing their minds because they found some guy on Twitter who said something really stupid. The reality is, you know, people on the left, Democrats, there's no shock here. There's no outrage. Knew this was coming. How can you be upset about something you knew was going to happen? And what I found interesting is the paths that they took, especially on the affirmative action thing. And they all talked about affirmative action all day today and how they're the great champions of racial justice. And, you know, they believe in equality and all of this stuff, you know, equal opportunity. They're quoting Dr. King, oh, the content of your character, you know, all this stuff. Boy, they had the rap down. It's like someone put out a script and they all got it. And they all read from the script, and they, oh, wait a minute, that's what they do. I'm sorry. Never mind. The think tanks put this stuff out, just so you know. When you hear all this orchestrated stuff on the right, it goes out first thing in the morning. They don't do any homework. This isn't their heartfelt belief structure. This is them reading what they're told. This is what the think tanks have focus group tested. This is the stuff that you got to keep pounding this out here. But what I found interesting is they all said the same thing. You know, we live in utopia. America is utopia. It's the land of the free, home of the brave, all that stuff. And how, you know, we don't understand. Understand what's going on in the black community. And this affirmative action was actually harming them. was making them think less of themselves. You know, they got into the schools, made them feel less of them. And now, you know, justice has happened. Freedom. And now what we got to figure out is, well, what's going on? What happened? What happened to the black community? It's time to roll up our sleeves and now we can figure this out. And I go, where have you been the last 50 years? Oh, that's right. Using them as a divisive tactic and all that. Never mind. Now they're on board. Here's the thing. I'm more than willing. You know, all of those right-wing bloviators, come on, let's figure it out. Let's jump in there. And I can help you. I know what the problem is. Inequality. Massive wealth inequality. That's the reality. You now saying that you care about the black community and, you know, we want to embrace them. You know when the last time a black guy knocked on a white guy's door, you know what happened? He was shot through it. So to tell me that discrimination doesn't happen, no, we're past that. We're in the post-discrimination world. Nonsense. And what I found interesting today, again, I listened to several different mouthpieces, and it's really the left who you know, they're the ones that are the racist. They don't think that these children are smart enough or good enough. And that's not at all what's being said. Not at all what's being said. And I heard the Tiger Woods analogy across a couple of programs. Interesting. They said, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, great golfer, you know, and you know, Tiger Woods made it so that young black children could see themselves playing golf. And now you've got, you know, more young black children playing golf, which is great. Role models are fabulous and needed. But what they forgot to mention, when there was that period where Tiger was having a hard time getting into clubs, think Augusta, think the Masters. You know, the Masters. The only black people in the Masters were cleaning up the mess. And this is where this place where I'm going, yeah, I know, I love that utopian thought process. I do. I want to believe that we're the land of the free, home of the brave, that opportunity, all want to believe that. Now, reality is, for a lot of people, there are roadblocks in the way. And now that we've got the attention of my right-wing friends, let's roll our sleeves up and figure out, okay, what is it? I just told you, it's income inequality. It's wealth inequality. When you look at the numbers, black families are way down the list. And that's because you started off behind. So a little help, a help, not doing for. And this is where the right is, you know, they got unqualified people to get the... No, they didn't. They simply had a couple of qualified candidates who, if you didn't look at any of them, they would be equal. And they said, hey, this one, because of all these other things, we're going to give them the opportunity. And not many of them. Now, here's the thing. If you want to talk about what's going on in the black community, I grew up in one. I remember the policies put forth by, you know, our Republican conservative friends it was all about punishment. So those families who needed food stamps, like my mother did multiple times throughout my childhood, no man could be in the house. They broke up families on purpose. And you would see, as a kid, I remember it. The welfare inspector would come to the door. This is back when they did that. They would come to the door and out the back door went the men. We by policy, did this. And now you hear, we don't know what happened to the black community. What possibly could have happened that destroyed the nuclear family? You did. That's the part that we miss. And again, it's, you know, it's like any verbal three-card Monty. They're going to show you what they want you to see. And all that other stuff, no. You can't have that. So if you really want to dig in, you really want to roll those sleeves up and find out what's going on, maybe you should ask them. Ask them why they're imprisoned at a much higher rate than any other ethnic group. Ask them why education is so bad in their communities. Oh, funding, could that be a problem? Absolutely, because we fund our schools through property tax. At least that's how we do it here in Pennsylvania. Could it be healthcare, where we find out that blacks have a much worse outcome all the way down the spectrum? But no, don't talk about that, because that gets away from white-black. What I'm talking about is green. And you don't screw with the money. because the moneyed interest, they don't want to hear it. Because here's the basis. Here's the bottom line of all this. While we're fighting over white, black, gay, straight, you know, while we're fighting over all of this, wealth wins. Green wins. The working class, again, struggling. Wealth is privilege. Legacy is privilege. You know, you didn't see them going after legacy in those universities, did you? There's a lot more legacy students in those colleges than there are affirmative action students. And, you know, look, all of these decisions that we're seeing, it's what wealth wants. It's what the rich want. Now, they have convinced some of us, the aggrieved among us, that somehow this is going to benefit us. And the reality is it's not. It's not going to help us. Every working person who's celebrating today these decisions because it hurts others, it's not going to help you. Bottom line is, look, there is not law. There is no decided law in this country anymore. It's all up on the auction block. It's all there. Let's quick go to the phones. Got Mike from Wisconsin on line one. How are we doing, Mike? What's on your mind?
Doing okay. It's Mark. Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. I mean, what the Supreme Court has seemed to have neglected is it's only in the past few decades we've actually made any real progress, and that progress has been, you know, aborted, if you'll forgive the term, you know, and whenever possible, the conservatives have, you know, tried to throw back the moves toward more equality that we've had. And we saw that at the beginning of the 20th century when Woodrow Wilson actually fired a bunch of people, you know, blacks who achieved, you know, public office, you know, not public office, but working for the federal government, and that he, as a son of the South, didn't like that really much. I mean, he thought that the Birth of a Nation was a great film. I mean, that even though he was progressive in some ways, he was, you know, racist, like, you know,
like people of the time, right? South.
And it is just sad that that these guys are trying to pull the wool over people's eyes and say, well, you know, race is no longer a problem in this country. Well, I think what they'll find out is that young people are going to have nothing of it. I mean, because a lot of these young people now are, you know, they're accepting, not just tolerant of people of color. They're accepting of people of color. They're not just tolerant of gay people. They're accepting of gay people. They're not just tolerant of trans people. They're accepting of trans people. And it is just, I'm hoping, I'm an older guy now. I'm 65, and I just hope that, you know, it's time to let the young folks and their 21st century attitudes to start leading.
Yeah.
And rather than this crap out of the 19th century and guys who want to roll us back to, you know, not just the 1960s and 1950s, they want to roll us back to the pre-1860s.
Stealing one of my lines there, Mark, but good on you, brother. No, I'm right there with you.
Thank you, brother.
I appreciate the call and the thoughts. Thank you so much. No, this he's spot on. I mean, you know, spot on. This the younger generation, they get it. They are more tolerant. They are accepting. They are moving in a direction, and that scares the living you know what out of these folks, which is why they're getting much more aggressive, which is why they're getting much more, well, like any caged, like any cornered rat, they're going to strike out. Now, here's the thing, you know, between today's student loan debt forgiveness being thrown aside, between the no website for you, gay people, between those decisions and then yesterday, young people are, I think, going to wake up. And, you know, this was a gift to the Biden folks, because I think they're going to have a whole bunch of people ready to go out and knock doors and do some campaign work come next year. Just my thought. Want to hear yours? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. You got a question, comment, something on your mind? By all means, shoot me an email or, you know, check out our website if you miss any portion of the program. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Bunch of emails today from people who are just gloating. You know, we won! And I love that when people tell me, oh, we've won! You know, and I'm going, my response back to the celebration is, what did you win? What did you get? You got to say, well, there, we got them. And again, it shows the cruelty, and you know that is the point, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. I think we got Alice on line one. Alice, how are we doing?
We're doing. So I wanted to call in because I just started reading a book, and it is called Hitler's American Friends: The Third Reich Supporters in the United States Before and During World War II. And it's, what is amazing is they are going over the propaganda that was used by Germany, and they're also comparing it to the propaganda that's being used nowadays, and it was used by Russia during the 2016 election year.
Right.
And they're just comparing everything, and they're comparing how all the social issues are being pushed, so people are getting sick and tired, and the fake news, the term fake news, that was used by Hitler, I guess. And it's just amazing. And what is amazing to me is I'm sitting here going, why is it that these people that claim that they're such patriots and such Christians, why is it they're all so stupid and fall for the same thing over and over? Which goes back to my point that you know, the right wing are all on educated twits, and I don't care what college or university. I don't care if they're Harvard, what Ivy League. They're all twits. And, yeah, listeners, I said it.
There you go.
So get over it. But have a good evening.
Thanks, Alice. Always leave it to Alice to come up with something good. No, look, you know, at the end of the day here, this is where my mind is. You know, we are moving into a moment where things are going to get a lot worse. And, you know, as we talked about yesterday with J.B. Pritzker's commencement speech and him talking about, you know, not having, evolved brains and, you know, people who are, you know, at the basic instinct level. Understand, things are going to get a lot worse as we lose millions of jobs through robotics and AI and all the things that are going to happen start happening and families start struggling more. This is going to turn into more of the Hunger Games. So this kind of, you know, worry about yourself, you know, screw your neighbor. This kind of thing is going to take hold. And we've got to prepare for that. You know, it's amazing to me to listen to some of the rhetoric that I heard today on the right wing, you know, outrage machine. They really know how to push buttons and keep people on that fear level. And when we start losing jobs, because look, you know, they say half the jobs that we're currently doing are going to be gone. You know, there'll be no more cashier jobs, no more truck driving jobs, no more data entry, no, none of that stuff, all gone. All going to be done by robotics and AI, and that means families are going to struggle. And that means more of the Hunger Games kind of competition. more of I've got to take out my neighbor if I'm going to survive kind of thinking, because that's what this is. This is the beginning of this. This is corporate money going, hey, you know, let's keep those people fighting. Let's keep them at each other, because when the time happens, we don't want them coming after us. It's always about the money. It's always about the war between labor and capital. Doesn't matter what the issue is. It comes down to what's going to happen at your kitchen table. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Gonna take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit, some good news coming out, going on out west. You're going to want to stick around. Back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1928. That was the day the state of Alabama outlawed the convict lease system that had been in practice for decades. Slave masters throughout the South had routinely loaned out enslaved people before slavery was finally abolished. The convict lease system continued this practice as the South worked to rebuild in a rush of rapid industrial growth after the Civil War. African Americans found themselves increasingly subject to sweeps by local and state authorities that coincided with harvest time or when labor agents arrived looking to man the coal mines. Many were convicted on trumped-up charges and shipped off to prison. Once there, they were leased to private industries and dispatched mostly to coal mines near Birmingham. By 1890, the state profited $164,000 a year. By 1912, prison mining brought in over $1 million in state revenues. In the PBS documentary, Slavery by Another Name, Douglas Blackman and other scholars note that prisoners could be driven in a way that earlier enslaved workers and free labor could not. Convict labor served to depress wages, curtail union activity, organizing, and strikes. These workers could also be worked practically to death and easily replaced. Progressive reformers, Socialist Party leaders, and United Mine Workers District 20 would wage an unrelenting war against the convict lease system for years. Even the 1911 Banner Mine explosion that killed 123 African American prisoners couldn't outlaw the practice. Finally, newly elected Governor Bibb Graves yielded to the public outcry that condemned the practice as a relic of barbarism. He also ceded to workers' demands for jobs. Graves subsequently put prisoners to work on chain gangs building roads throughout the state, making Alabama the last state to abolish the convict lease system.
In Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Humpty Dumpty scornfully declares that when I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean. So what does woke mean? It's become the pet political aspersion that today's kooky right-wing hucksters hurl at liberals. But the hurlers would be whopper-jawed to learn that it was actually coined by and for progressives. Indeed, it admonishes people to be awake to the dangers posed by hate-filled bigots and reactionaries like, well, like today's right-wing extremists. Surprising historical tidbit. The first person reported to have used the word was Huddy Ledbetter, the legendary black blues artist known as Leadbelly. Among his many classic songs was Scottsboro Boys, about 9 black teenagers falsely accused in 1931 of raping 2 Alabama white women. As a black musician who traveled the back roads of the Jim Crow South, Leadbelly warned others to pay attention when in a viciously racist state. Best stay woke, he cautioned. But out of blind ignorance, blind arrogance, or both, today's adapters of the Jim Crow mentality have perverted common sense wokeness into a verbal whip to lash African Americans, immigrants, Democrats, women, LGBTQ people, and all others they don't like. Pretty much everyone who looks, thinks, prays, and acts different from them. How kooky? They've declared librarians, science, Mickey Mouse, and Bud Light to be their evil enemies. Don't be woke, they bark, demanding autocratic, plutocratic, and theocratic laws to coerce compliance with their own retrogressive bigotries. This is Jim Hightower saying, bear in mind that this is no longer a fringe cult, but the mainstream of the Republican Party, including its top congressional leaders, presidential wannabes, and state officials. Actually, you can easily comprehend what these Humpty Dumpties really mean by their Don't Be Woke war cry. Just substitute the word sane for woke.
Well, Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you may remember, you know, several days back we had Jesse Moreno on the program to talk about the first day of the Amazon delivery drivers strike out in Palmdale, California. First of its kind and exciting. Look, I mean, it's about time that workers at Amazon start taking some direct action, building worker power, doing the things that we talk about here on the little program. Now what I find out, we're day six into this historic strike. Now they're expanding it. It's going to another facility in the Bay Area. So I thought, you know what? We got to get Jesse back on the program and get us up to date on what's going on. And maybe this thing catches fire and finds an Amazon facility near you. That's why I've asked Jesse Moreno to come talk with us. He's an Amazon driver, activist, and brother Teamster. Jesse, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, Rick, thanks for having me back. Pleasure to be here.
So walk me through this. You guys, historic first days of the strike a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah. So we went on strike a couple of days ago. It was time that we needed to, you know, make these changes. Amazon isn't bargaining. They're not coming down to the table. So, you know, we had to go on strike to make them realize that we mean business and we're not going anywhere. So we ended up, you know, extending our picket down last Sunday down to the Inland Empire and again yesterday up to the Bay Area because, I mean, Amazon needs to realize that the Teamsters aren't going anywhere and it's time for them to sit down and bargain with us. And if they don't want to do that, then, you know, we're spreading this thing nationwide, you know, and it's time for them to realize that it's just going to get bigger.
Yeah.
And they need to hurry up and bargain.
No, I the last time you were on, we had a bunch of people reach out to us and say, you know what, you know, when I was listening to him, he go, same thing where we're at, same conditions. So I want to go back a little bit to the day you guys walked out, the first day of the strike, and go, you know, what made that happen? What were the conditions? What is it that made you just go, you know what, this is enough. We've got to take this nuclear option, this direct action. What made you to get to that point?
Obviously money is a big thing for everybody, but our main focus that got everybody, you know, ready and fired up was this heat. We got tired of dealing with this heat year after year with nothing being done. We, you know, we're asking for, you know, designated areas to rest, to cool down, you know, more water. These vans was the biggest issue. We have a lot of vans that have windows that don't go down, doors that don't open. I myself have had to park in an empty lot, you know, diagonally just so I could get that cold breeze coming in through my van just to combat that heat. So it took all of us, you know, realizing nothing's being changed. So we need to hurry up and we need to make that change ourselves. So we ended up walking out and that's gonna continue to be, you know, one of our biggest issues. Other than that is, you know, it's unfair labor practice strike, mainly because we were let go because we unionized. So that is, you know, another huge thing. You know, if it's time for them to realize that we're not going anywhere and we're going to continue to put pressure on Amazon. Just because we unionize, it's not easy for you to get rid of us. We're going to continue to push this fight.
Yeah, and this is why, again, who's in the White House and who appoints the head of the National Labor Relations Board and who is in charge of that apparatus is so very important. Again, this is why voting matters. But I want to go back to the working conditions because one of the things that kept coming up and keeps coming up with workers across the country is this idea of being able to take a break and being able to go into a place where you can actually cool down. And, you know, some of the responses I got from people were like, well, what company would do this? Why would they do this to people? There's a thought process out there that we're far beyond this, that we're much more advanced than 18th century thinking. But the reality is when you talk to people who have to do these jobs, folks like you, it's not what we believe it is.
Yeah, that's you know, that's the main issue. Like we, you know, where there's laws that we're, you know, we're trying to help push to, you know, get better working conditions for us that are working out of vehicles all day long. The people say that people inside warehouses need, you know, better air conditionings. To us, our warehouse are our vans. We're in there all day long. we take our breaks in these vans. So to us, this indoor heat should apply to us as well, because we are inside these vans. These are our warehouses. These are our, you know, our working spaces. So that's the big thing we need people to realize, you know, we're in these vans for 8 to 10 hours. So these are, you know, where we work out of. So we it's fair that we get these heat issues sorted out, because we're fighting heat exhaustion. I've dealt with it multiple times. I've had coworkers that have been hospitalized because of it. And, you know, it's not even just us and our DSP. It's multiple DSPs nationwide. We're in the high desert. It gets hot up here. It's 102 degrees right now.
And yeah, it's a dry heat, Jesse. I'm told it's a dry heat. It's much different.
Yeah. So I've been told. But either way, it's still terrible in these vans. It's still an oven.
No. And look, anybody who would make that argument, go sit in one of them for a day and then tell me if it's, you know, if that's a better heat. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Jesse Moreno. Jesse's an Amazon driver, Teamster Union activist. They are on strike out on the West Coast in the Inland Empire, in Palmdale, California, and in the Bay Area, getting workers to exercise their right to speech, to exercise their right to strike. And this I think, is one of those things that's, you know, it could catch like wildfire as workers realize that they do have some power in the workplace, that they can make things better. And it's not just the heat. It's extreme temperatures on either end. I mean, if you're in the Northeast and, you know, it gets cold there, too, we should be talking about that as well.
Exactly. The temperature is just one of the issues that, you know, we're facing. But like you said, even out here, it snows up here as well. You know, we get, you know, rainstorms, which we're still told to deliver in it. Yeah. No matter what the weather looks like outside, we're still told to deliver. And we get stuck, it's our fault. We get told not to get stuck, but yet we get in trouble for not delivering these packages. So we're always put in, you know, in that gray area where it's either we push through and we put ourselves in danger, or we don't push through and get reprimanded by Amazon.
What do you say to the person who goes, you know, Jesse, just be glad you got a job. You know, they could easily outsource that to the gig economy, or AI's coming. Robots are going to take your job, Jesse. Just be happy you got a job and shut up and go back to work. What do you say to them?
Well, I say a lot of people out there just have jobs, but a lot of these same people need better. We all want better. You know, living out here, it's super expensive out here. So this just a job isn't covering, you know, bills, rent. I have 2 children that I have to support. So these bare minimum jobs, these minimum wage jobs aren't doing it. And especially, like I said, pay is one thing, but it's another to, you know, be putting yourself in danger. Nobody should have to go to work with the fear of not making it home, or with the fear of getting attacked by some crazed driver, some dog, you know, on a property. Everybody, no matter who it is, your safety should always come first.
Yep.
It's always your safety over any company's profits.
No, and you know, that's the thing. I mean, delivery drivers, I've got friends who are UPS drivers, and the stories they tell me about some of the situations they get into, it makes me go, yeah, I know you make good money, and I know you're bargaining for even better money and possibly a strike there as well. But, you know, no thanks. I'm not putting up with the dogs chasing me, people coming out with guns, possibly shooting me, you know, none of that. And you guys, you got to deal with that for, you know, I would argue subpar wages. I mean, if I'm you, I'm asking for what UPS has got. I'm asking for a living wage to be able to support my family with the best health care you can get. That's what the industry and all the way across should be striving for and organizing for.
Exactly. With a company like Amazon, where they're making $500 billion in profit in a year, they could afford to pay all of their employees a little more. Like I just said, it should always be the employees' safety over the company's profits. And it's time for these big companies to understand that the working class people, we're standing and we're fighting. The labor movement is just picking up. It's always been there. It's always been a strong movement, and you know, it's not going anywhere. We're just picking up that momentum, and we're coming after all these corporate companies, because that corporate greed has got to go.
So, you know, your worst day on the job, what did that look like? I mean, you know, have you had one of the, because I had a UPS friend of mine said, you know, I went to this place and it looked like, you know, it was a bright sunny day in the rest of the world, but I drive down this driveway and it got dark, you know, like physically dark really quick. And I went to go deliver the package and then, you know, two giant Rottweilers, a guy with a shotgun. He's like, I didn't know I was going to make it out alive. He said, that was the day I almost turned in my keys and was moving on down the road. Have you had one of those days?
Oh yeah, I've had plenty of those days. A lot of us have had those days. It usually starts off with the vans, you know? You show up 2 minutes late or you grab the wrong pouch and just starting off the day with one of those terrible vans, you know, it's either going to be a terrible day or you could turn it around right from the beginning and make it a good day. But yeah, I've had those days where my van was terrible. I've had horrible route on that same day. I think that was one of the days where I actually got chased by one of these dogs as well, which it happens. We, on our app, on our phone that we use specifically for Amazon, there's usually a note on there that says if there's a dog on the property, it doesn't always pop up. So I've walked up to the door, dropped the package off. I turn around at this porch. There's a giant dog just staring at me, barking at me. There's nothing I could do. Nobody's home. I'm screaming for the people. I'm inching towards to get past them. And, you know, they tell us not to run, but at that point, I felt like I needed to. So I ran, jumped over that fence, and I made it back to my van, you know. I called dispatch. I let them know there's a dog, aggressive, almost bit me. What do they say? Well, go ahead and just get on your way. They don't care. They don't care. They obviously don't. I've had coworkers that have been bit, and nothing was done.
Yeah, just finish your route, then go to the hospital when you're done, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And that's just a lot of us have had those days getting stuck on the road and it being our fault when we're told to, you know, go through it, reroute yourself. What's the issue? I reroute myself in dirt roads. That's adding another 10, 15 minutes to my route. We have some pretty terrible routes out here in the high desert. And there's nothing that we can do other than suck it up and get through the day.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like how we should be treating heroes and essential workers. I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
Yeah, definitely. We were definitely essential when COVID hit. They needed us, you know, but when we asked for more, you know, better working conditions, when we're so-called essential, we weren't given it.
Well, the reality is they still need you. This isn't, you know, since COVID, you know, has calmed a little bit, they still need people delivering stuff. I mean, you know, I see guys running all over the place. We're now in an economy where people don't go to the store anymore. They go on their phone and you bring it to us and we should be treating you better. That's my view. Let me ask you a last question. How can we help? I know you guys are strapped. You know, I hope folks will donate to the fundraiser you guys got going on. And if someone wants to get involved and do more, is there a way to do that?
Yeah. So out here, obviously not everybody, you know, can join the strike line, but that's something that we love to see as, you know, one of the 84 drivers that are on this line daily. We love all the support. Anybody that comes out, that can come out, please do. Introduce yourself to us. We would love to meet and talk to anybody that shows up. And obviously, you know, we're going to continue to fight this fight. A lot of us have families to support and, you know, just donating a couple dollars as well. That's, you know, that's a huge help. And I'm not sure if you have it posted, Rick, but we do have the ibt.io/AD Solidarity Fund. That's the fund that we have going on that's supporting us right now.
Yeah, we'll get links out on social media so folks can take a look at it, and I hope folks will donate. It's a good cause, and look, if you're near the picket line, stop by with a pizza or a box of donuts or something, a case of water. A little bit of that helps as well. A little solidarity, a good gesture always makes things go a little bit better. But Jesse, I appreciate the time. Best of luck, brother. I hope you'll come back and keep us up to date on what's going on.
Appreciate it, Rick. Yeah, anytime you guys want me here, I'll be here for sure.
Good stuff. Thank you, Jesse Marino. He is an Amazon driver, union activist on strike right now. Seriously, ibt.io/AD Solidarity Fund stands for Amazon Drivers Solidarity Fund, AD Solidarity Fund. Get that and make a couple of bucks donation. That seems the least we could do, right? For the heroes, the essential folks who brought us our stuff. Gonna take a quick break. Back with your thoughts. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1885. That was the day that streetcar workers went out on strike. The West Division Street Railroad Company had reduced the number of trips it made each day. The workers asked for a wage increase to make up for the loss of earnings. In response, management fired 15 union leaders. Outraged members of the city's labor movement rallied to the cause of the West Side Streetcarmen's Benevolent Association. Thousands of Chicagoans lined the company's tracks. Calls went out to revoke the company's charter. Mayor Harrison urged the company not to try and run their cars in the charged environment. But the company's management refused to listen. They demanded police protection to get their streetcars running. A police captain by the name of John Bonfield was assigned the task. Bristling with policemen, 10 streetcars rolled out into the crowd. Under Bonfield's orders, the police clubbed strikers and protesters along the tracks. When a group of bricklayers yelled rats at the passing cars, they were arrested. In all, 150 protesters went to jail that day. After 7 days, the strike ended in a compromise. The workers saw an increase in their wages, and all but two of the workers who had been fired got their jobs back. The action propelled Captain Bonfield's career as a strikebreaker. He became known as Captain Blackjack Bonfield. It was Captain Bonfield who led the police confrontation with workers at a rally the next year that sparked the Haymarket tragedy. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So under the heading of anyone can have a kid, but you need a license to get a dog, the Maniacs for Misery, or I mean Moms for Liberty group, they're having their big summit in Philadelphia today. It kicked off, going to go through the weekend. Lots crazy, lots of, and I loved some of the protesters that were out there. The one sign caught my attention, Klanned with a K, Klanned for Karenhood. Thought that was quite entertaining. They did go after, you know, some of the idiocy of what they're out there doing. Now remember, these are moms who care about their kids. These are, you know, your next door neighbor who cares about your children. But you evidently you go in and they're selling, you know, a lot of pro Trump swag bag kind of stuff, and you know, Joe's for Hoes t-shirts. You know, good family value stuff. You know, don't want your kids thinking about sex stuff. No. I look at this group. Now, remember, the story that we're told about this group, it was just a couple of concerned mothers who did all this on their own through bake sales and knitting clubs. You know, because we're told that it's a grassroots movement of, you know, of concerned moms. And, you know, who could be, you know, opposed to secure, concerned moms? I know, you know, it's security moms. Mama bears, yeah, the right wing frames. They've been doing this for a while. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, I got to tell you, not buying the story, not buying that it was, you know, just a couple of moms going, yeah, things are bad. We should change things. No, in fact, this Moms for Liberty group has grown at such a pace that only corporate money could have done this. Only the big donor money could have done this. You know, in a very short period of time, they were able to, these two moms, while, you know, washing dishes and doing laundry, they somehow figured out how to navigate the IRS code to get a 501c4 designation, which means lots of money, lots of dark money. The kind of dark money that, you know, billionaires don't want you to really attach their name to, but it caused a lot of chaos. And somehow they were all over Fox. Somehow they've got this national media presence. Not just a couple of moms, you know, in between, doing the housework and raising the kids. In between, just fitting it in. Massive social media campaign. They've set up multiple federal political action committees, a number of state political action committees, super PACs. And when you think super PACs, you know what you think? Super cash, unlimited super cash. So you go, but it was just a couple of moms who did this. No, not even a little bit. And, I was looking through their website, and look, they've got a beautiful website. It's a good thing nobody's gay in their group, or they'd have no website. But evidently, I look at this website, and this is thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in the making. This is lots of money. This summit that they're throwing in Philadelphia, huge money. I spent a little time looking at their sponsor list. And again, this is just a couple of moms through knitting sales and bake sales and, the flea bazaars and, just concerned down home folk with money from the Heritage Foundation, money from the Leadership Institute, because they're training conservatives, money for the Standing for Freedom Center. You name the right wing think tank, you name the billionaire pet project, and they are there. They are there with money, lots of it. And what's their goal? Their goal is simple. And they make no bones about it. We're going to destroy public education. That's it. The goal is to privatize, to voucherize, to homeschoolize public education. And look, I have people say, well, what's wrong with choice? Choice is good in places where you actually have choices. The sad reality is in a lot of poor communities, there are no choices. There are no private schools that are going to exceed what you're going to get in the public schools. No, most of those are cash grabs. And the reason I bring this up is because one of the speakers that they have coming into their big powwow is this guy, Ryan Walters. Ryan Walters is, how did they say him? He's Oklahoma's firebrand anti-woke state superintendent. Now he's come in and said, we're gonna go after those teacher unions. We're gonna go after woke. We're gonna go get them all. Before he was the state superintendent, what's interesting is he was the head of a nonprofit, because this is what these guys do. They set up nonprofits and they, we're doing the good work. Every Oklahoma kid counts. Who could be against that? Every puppy counts. Who could be against it? Well, during the pandemic, his organization was given a boatload of money. That money was supposed to go to families to be able to help them get education during COVID. So everyone went online. So people who didn't have laptops or printers or internet access, or that's what this money was for. In fact, they got grants for somewhere like 5,000 families that they would give out about $1,500 to. So each of these families, that's a lot of, once you start doing the math, that's a lot of money, a lot of money. Virtually every place across the country, it worked well. They put parameters in place that, you can buy laptops and, paper and printers and pencils and art supplies or whatever. Educational stuff. You can buy that. But evidently this guy, evidently about 20% of the total purchases of the money that they gave out went to things that weren't related to education. Things like big screen TVs, washing machines, a couple of kitchen appliances, power tools. You need power tools. And my favorite, a classic Pokemon video cabinet. Now you go, but Rick, those are all educational. How do you expect to learn if you don't have a big screen TV? How do you expect to learn, you know, if you don't have a washing machine to have clean clothes while sitting on the couch watching that big screen TV?
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.